They stiffed me for Subway. Really? You gotta be kidding me. They stood me up for Subway. No, I'm just teasing them right now because we had a good time on that. They're feeling bad about that, but that's all right. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad about it. I'm over it. I'm over it, all right? Quit bringing it up. I'm over it. My feelings have recovered completely. I am over it. So don't bring it up anymore. Book of Genesis, if you would, the book of Genesis, chapter 5, where I want to begin reading to you. Very exciting chapter in the Bible. Very exciting. How many of you ever like to read the begats? We're sitting down to read it. And so-and-so begat so-and-so. And so-and-so begat so-and-so. So-and-so begat so-and-so. Yeah, so-and-so had a lot of children, but that's beside the point. But, man, when you read those sometimes, it just kind of names. You have to fight through those names, but we're going to try to fight through a few of them this morning, the Lord helping us. Amen. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he had begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 75 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. And Mahalalel, you with me, you're staying with me, lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Which, notice that, right? Yeah. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. He called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, Japheth. And that's an exciting chapter, isn't it? Real exciting chapter there. If you like, sit down and you read that and go through that. I didn't read to you in the book of Genesis chapter 4, but in the book of Genesis chapter 4, there is another lineage that is given to us. There is the lineage of Cain that is given to us. Cain produced children, and his lineage was given to us. But it was an ungodly lineage. What we have in Genesis chapter 5, we have the godly lineage of Seth. And those that followed after the Lord. And those that were godly men. When you read through the chapter 5, chapter 5, and you read through all those names, there's many of those names that you, some of those names you recognized, but there's many of those names that you did not know. There's names that don't jump off the page. They're just a name in history. They just occupied a space of time. And it seems like when you read through there, there's a number of men that seem to be just undistinguished and nothing special about them. They're just ordinary men, if you would. Nothing stands out about their name. When you read through the scripture, their name does not pop up again. But when you read through the Bible, you don't read about some of those men that's listed in Genesis chapter 5. But let it not be said that they were not just, that they were just filling space, because they were in a godly lineage here. All right? They were in a godly lineage. Sometimes, amen, out of the ordinary comes the extraordinary. Sometimes what we fail to realize is, you know what, is that maybe we are not distinguished or set apart or anything special. Maybe when people look at us, they don't really, our name is not known across the land or anything like that. But the blessings of God can still flow through each and every one of us. Amen. Praise God. Some men are distinguished by the peculiarity of the times in which they lived. Adam, you know, being the first man, that distinguishes him from about everybody else, right? That kind of sets him apart, that gives him some notoriety, some kind of a something that he can hang his hat on. Some men are rendered distinguished by their longevity. Methuselah. We remember the name of Methuselah because he was the man that lived the longest in all of Scripture. 969 years Methuselah lived, okay? Some of us are hoping to make 69, and he did 969. And so that's what sets him apart or distinguishes him, because of his longevity. You probably have known men that were of great years. They maybe had lived a long, full life. And because they have lived a long, full life, they are known by many people, and they are distinguished and set apart as well. Some men are rendered distinguished by their moral conduct. And I would refer back to Genesis chapter 4, and we can point to Cain, and we can point to that the ungodly lineage that distinguishes them from other men because of their moral conduct. Some men are distinguished because of their ancestors and because of who they were, who they were born from, who their dad was, who their grandfather was. That distinguishes them from everybody else. And if you've had a grandfather or a father that was of great notoriety, people will probably recognize you and know you and distinguish you simply because you were their child or you were their grandchild. And so therefore you have notoriety today, right? Some men are rendered and distinguished and set apart for something much different than that. And that is for their religious and their special anointing that they have upon their life, because they are spiritual men. They are set apart. I could point you to Enoch that we read here, a man who is set apart, that we distinguish, that we've known, not because of his great old age, because he was the youngest man that was mentioned in that text that I read to you, but it was simply the fact that he walked with God. That he walked with God. Amen. I guess what I want to talk to you about today is when I read through that chapter there are so many names that are undistinguished. There are so many names that have no notoriety, have no fame attached to them. That name is never mentioned again through the rest of Scripture, throughout the rest of the Bible. But out of those ordinary men, out of those just ordinary men, God brought forth great men. Great men. Out of those that were just your everyday average Joe, all right, God brought forth great men to do something great for God. Amen. So I want you to know that even though many times you look at your life and you say, I'm nothing. I'm really nothing distinguishes me. I'm not popular. I'm not wealthy. I don't have ancestral roots to rely on or to talk about. I don't have nothing special about me. Can I tell you, amen, that God can use you, amen, to bring forth greatness in your children. Amen. It's in your children. Man, you can look at these men, men that we read about, and I'll tell you what, the importance of godly men. Yeah. Let me just tell you how important godly men are today. Amen. Because godly men, we don't understand, amen, how special men are. Yeah. Amen. Do you know that there's a great percentage of children that are in North America that are born out of wedlock? Most of them do not even know who their fathers are. Only 1/3 of the children born in North America will live with both of their biological parents through the age of 18. Only 1/3 of them. 85% of those children raised without their father, 85% of them will have behavior disorders. 71% of them will drop out of high school. 70% will have teenage pregnancies. 80% of those people, okay, those are teen patients of drug abuse centers. 70% are in correctional institutions or have been through correctional institutions. 85% of them have contemplated or have committed suicide or attempted suicide. These are people that children that are raised without a father in their home. Amen. Can I tell you, the father is very, very important. Very important. Amen. You know, my dad, when growing up, there was not many things I could make my dad do. Not very many things I could make him do. But apparently I did have this over. Okay, because many times when we was riding down the road, he had asked me, are you going to make me stop this car? So apparently I had the power to make him go and stop the car. And I didn't realize how much potential I had. But I really didn't realize how much influence my mom had on my dad either. Because how many times did he say, go ask your mom? Hey, it's always, you know, I didn't realize how important she was. And but he taught me a lot of things too, you know. He taught me that a little dirt never hurt anybody. That's right. He taught me that I wasn't born in a barn. Right? Yes. He also taught me he didn't have any money. That's funny because anytime you ask Dad for money, you know, how hard it was to get that money. You know how hard it is. Come on, Dad, you're all the same way. You want them to know you had to work hard for that money. That money don't grow on trees, right? You had to work for it, right? One man said that when he would ask his dad for money, he would tell him, said, son, I had to wake up at 5 in the morning when I was 7 years old, walked 23 miles to milk 90 cows. Amen. The farmer that I worked for didn't even have a bucket. I had to carry it in my hands, and I had to carry it over and dump it into the can. It was so bad. And I did all that for 5 cents. For 5 cents. And you'd get that same story every time you ask for money. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm asking about? But then when grandkids come along, it was amazing how rich my parents became when they became a grandparent. They came into all kinds of money. Then suddenly, man, as soon as they walk in the door, the wallet comes out and they start shelling out the money. Here's a little something to go to the store with. It's amazing when you become grandparents, you become wealthy. Yeah, you're such a tightwad all the way up until grandkids are born. And then when the grandkids come along, man, I'm telling you what, you just come into so much money all of a sudden. The tree must start bearing fruit or something. Right? Man, I wanted these boys from Bible school, from the Higher Ground, I want to ask them to testify about their dads today, all right? It's a little different sermon today. I understand. All right, who wants to go first?
Appreciate the Lord today. I love my dad with all my heart. He's the man who molded me really into what I am today, and I appreciate that. And you hear it a lot of times saying, "Man, you're gonna be just like your dad, just like your dad." And when I'm younger, I'm thinking, "You can't be kidding me." That's not what I want at all. But now looking at that and thinking about that, you know, that's exactly what I want, to be just like my dad when I grow up. As well, my dad, he was fully gray by the time he was 26, and I'm right on target for that, so I don't know if I appreciate that as much, but I appreciate my dad, and I'm thankful for an ordinary man who doesn't necessarily think he's anything in this life, but is consistent in the way he lives, and consistent in doing the things that he's been given to do. And I preached a couple weeks ago on this. In the Bible, there are five occasions in which a phrase is given, "and suddenly." And in the book of Luke, there you see the shepherds. They're abiding in the field, Luke chapter 2. And the Bible says there that, if I could find it. Well, anyway, I'll find it later. But the Bible says, "and suddenly, there was with them a multitude of the host," and they were singing praises to God. But if you look at the life of a shepherd, if you were to notice the life of a shepherd here in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, you would see and find that the life of a shepherd is encompassed in great loyalty and great consistency in what they were doing. These shepherds, no doubt, knew what they had to do each and every day. They were the people that were there day in and day out, just being faithful, being consistent in the things that they had been given. When I think about that and I think about my dad, that is my dad to a T, consistent. A man that, when he was younger, he didn't necessarily have the best home life. His dad walked out on him. I don't know what that's like, because my dad didn't let a tragedy get to him and he decided to live for God, and that's why I'm here today, because an ordinary man decided that he was going to stand up for what was right and was going to teach his children. If there's anything that I want today, is to follow that consistent man, that ordinary man, that man that really doesn't necessarily hold a title, but knows how to work and knows how to go in and day out, just like that shepherd, doing what God's given him to do and being faithful in that. And that's what I want with all my heart. One day, if I have kids, I want to be just like my dad, to teach them the things he taught me, to apply those things that he applied to my life, so that I can be a man of God and I can know how to pray and I can know how to witness and I can know how to work. Every day, day in and day out, just being faithful to my God. So I love the Lord today.
Well, I'm really appreciative of a godly father that the Lord has given me. And my dad, when he was 4 years old, his parents divorced, and he didn't have a very good home life at all. He recalls several times when he was about 14 years old, when he was had to drive his dad home from the bar drunk, and you know, he didn't have it very good. He had an uncle and an aunt that would take him to church when he wanted to go, and he was thankful for that. But he remembers the one day where he really just got tired of the sin that was in his life, and he just knelt down beside his bed at 15 years old and gave his heart to the Lord. And you know, a lot of people looking at him then, as he went to Bible school, you know, look at his home life, and you know, you don't feel like somebody like that could be anything for the Lord. But you know, he had a determination in his heart, and he remembers. He tells a story of one time when he was there with Tracy, Brother Tracy Jones, and his family. That was his pastor. After he got saved, said he went to their house one time for dinner, and they gathered the family in there to eat their supper, you know, and they all joined hands and prayed, and And he's sitting there thinking, man, I've never experienced this in my life. You know, he didn't grow up like that. He didn't have a family that knew how to pray and knew how to live for the Lord. But he made a commitment to the Lord that night as he gathered around their table, said, Lord, if you ever bless me with a family, that's what I want to be like. And the Lord let him see that come to pass. And I'm not anything special, but I've looked at his life, and he's a man of prayer, and he's a man of priority. He always puts his family first. And if I could encourage anyone in here, time is one of the most valuable things you can give your children. And my dad's a busy man. He pastored a church, been doing it for 23 years, and he works on the side, but he still finds time for his family. And dad was nobody. He was nothing, but he gave his heart and life to the Lord, and he said, if you'll take me and use me. And a lot of people know my dad, not because he's anything special, but the Lord had mercy and he had grace. And you might not feel like you're anything today, but if you'll give yourself to the Lord wholly and completely, he can take your life and he can make you something into what he'd have you to be.
It's amazing what God can do with ordinary men, isn't it? Ordinary men. And sometimes, you know, we feel like we admire the greatness, we admire the brilliance of men, but can I tell you that not every man is noted for all of their greatness, but it's those men that continue, maybe they seem to be very ordinary, but out of ordinary comes greatness. And when you read the scripture, you know, we don't read a whole lot. I mean, even as Seth, Enos, Mahalalel, Jared, all those, they are not something, they're just ordinary guys in the scripture, amen, that was carrying on a lineage. But out of those ordinary men came Enoch, amen, a man that walked with God. Amen, can I tell you, you know what, if you say, well, there's nothing great about me, nothing special, I'm just ordinary, you don't know what your children may become. Your child, amen, may become a great evangelist. Your child may become a great missionary. Your child may rise up to do something great for God and be noted across the world for the things that they accomplish for the Lord. But it's by staying faithful and serving God, amen, that allows ordinary men, amen, to produce greatness. Amen. You may not produce greatness in your lifetime, but you may produce greatness in your children's lifetime. Amen. Out of that same group of men that there seemed to be so many ordinary men, there was that one man by the name of Noah. Amen. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. A man that was able to stand when all the world turned wicked. Amen. There was a man that could stand for righteousness. Amen. There was a man that could stand up for God. I can tell you that even though out of all of the ordinary men in the world, amen, God can turn ordinary men into great men. To great men. Amen. I was reading another genealogy, and as I was going down reading through that, there would pop up a great man every once in a while, and a noted man that I would recognize his name. But then I would go for generation after generation after generation after generation, and then their name would not stand out to me, and I would not recognize the name. But then suddenly there would be a name that would pop out as a noted, distinguished man. And you go all the way down through that genealogy, and you get down to the end, and you come across a man by the name of Joseph. A man that was just ordinary man, nothing special about it. He was just another one of the ordinary men in a great list of men. But guess what? God chose Joseph to be the father of his only son. Amen. He chose Joseph, amen, to bring up the child Jesus. And let me tell you, he must have been a great man in the list of all those ordinary men. Amen. God chose him to raise his child. Amen. Out of ordinary comes greatness. Out of the ordinary comes greatness. Amen. I'm nothing special, but I believe that God can do something great in my children. Amen. I'm nothing, but I know that God can do something great through my kids. And who knows what God's purpose is and God's plan is for your children. Who knows where they'll be. You say, I'm nothing. I came from nothing. I am nothing. I don't have anything. I'm not noted for my brilliance. I'm not noted, You know, they're not hanging my picture in museums. They're not, you know, making note of me, and there's no landmark where I was born, making reference to the places where I've been, nothing like that. That's all right, because out of ordinary comes greatness. Out of the ordinary comes greatness. Though out of you may say, Lord, what if I don't see what your plan is right now. God has a plan, right? Amen. That maybe our children will walk. Who knows? Your child may be a man like Enoch that can walk with God. Maybe your child will be the great man like Noah. Man able to stand against all the opposition around him and find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. I want you to stand with us if you would today. I know we could, you know, we'd like to point out greatness. We like to point out greatness. We like to point at men and say, there is a great man. There is a great man. Man, look what this man has accomplished. Look at the greatness of this man. And I know even in on Father's Day, we want to point out great men that maybe did some great thing for God. But really what I want to point out to you today is not the great man. I want you to point out the ordinary man. The man that works hard to provide for his family. The man that works tirelessly to make sure that kids are clothed, kids are fed, that a roof is put over their head. Name may not be known all across the country, but they work tirelessly. I don't want to point out the great man so much today as I want to point out the ordinary man that was faithful to the house of God. He didn't have position. He didn't have authority. He wasn't the preacher. He wasn't the pastor. But he was faithful to the work of God and faithful to doing all that he could for the Lord in every capacity. Amen. So that his children would know Jesus, and that his children would serve God, and that his children would live for the Lord, and that his children might have an opportunity to go on and do something great for God. Amen. That's the man I want to point out to you today. The ordinary man. The ordinary man. The man that was maybe not the man that everybody says, oh, I want to hear him pray. If I could just hear him say a prayer. No, I'm talking about the ordinary man that prays that constant prayer for his children, that they would survive, that they would live for God, that they would become something for God. Amen. I'm not surrounded by great men. Thank the Lord, but we're surrounded by ordinary men. Amen. I know, man, every one of us has a desire to say, man, I want to be great. I want to be great. I want to be great. Out of ordinary comes the greatness. Out of the ordinary, the undistinguished, comes greatness. Amen. Let's bow our heads if we would. Dear Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, for our fathers. God, some of them, they've not got a plaque with their name on it. Some of them, Lord God, they're not known across the country. There's not name recognition. Lord, some of them are not talked about in colleges and in universities about their brilliance. Lord, some, Lord, they toil in obscurity without anybody ever knowing their hard labor and their hard work. But God, out of those ordinary men, God, I believe that you bring greatness. God, out of those ordinary men that continue to be faithful to you, God, you produce great people of God. Children, Lord, that will rise up. Children that will go forth from an ordinary father and do great things for God. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us, oh God, just to be that ordinary father, God, that can achieve greatness in their children. And God, we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I want our fathers to come. Let's come to the altar, fathers, if you would. I'd like for you to stand, and then we'll have our families pray for our fathers today. Amen. I want them to come. All your fathers, come on, step out. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. Let's come on down. Let's stand at the altar. Amen. Once our fathers are in place, then we'll come down and pray for them, all right? I want you to look on here, and what you see right here is, amen, these men, when I look here, I don't see men that got a building named after them anywhere. Any of you got that? Got a building named after you anywhere? I don't see that. When I look across these men, I don't see men that's got a national monument to them anywhere. Don't see that. Just see ordinary men. But out of these ordinary men right here, you see the greatness of God, right? You see the greatness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate you men. I appreciate you brethren in the Lord today. Amen. Brother Tony, if you need to sit down in the front seat, brother, just sit right there and we'll pray for you, all right? I know you're not feeling well. Amen. So glad to see Brother Tony in the house of the Lord. Amen. Would you come and let's gather behind our fathers today. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that God's blessings upon them, that God anoint them, that God would use them for greatness. Hallelujah. Out of them, God, produce greatness.
Help me be a living Bible, Lord, so my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, as he wants to be like me. Lord, I want to be just like you, cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, cause he wants to be like me. I want to be just like you, cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, wants to be like me. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be like me. Oh, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can.